Film Review, Movies, Music, Culture, Politics, Society Podcast, Interviews, Movie Reviews, and more. Live Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Spot Podcast and the Film Review Life Channel. Subscribe.
Hi, this is Bernadette Stanis, Thelma from Good Times, and you're watching The Film Review.
You've tuned in to What's the Point, produced by Tanya M. Congress for You Found the Spot Radio. Edits by Crazy D. Music title, Shifting Between Reality by Royalty Free Zone. Hit my Cash App at $ What's the Point 422. Smash the like button, smash the share button, smash the subscribe button. If you're not afraid to come on in, let's begin.
Well, today I'm going on with, I'm continuing in my series, Come Out from Among Them, The True and False Kingdom. And I have a lot to cover today. I have a lot of scripture that I want to give you to go back and study, to show yourself approved, as I always admonish you to do. We have gone over quite a bit where it pertains to the true and false kingdom. We have covered a lot of what is false. I'm going to cover more of what is false. And the reason why I'm doing that is because the majority of what we know as church today and what we know as Christianity today is full of false doctrine, the doctrine of demons, devils, and doctrines of man. And I know that for some of you, this is going to shake up some things. It's going to shake up some foundations, and that's exactly what I'm here to do, because these foundations are built on sand and not on the rock of Christ. So I'm here to do precisely that, overturn your foundation and get you into a place where you're studying to show yourself approved. Even if you're trying to prove me wrong, I want you to go study it out for yourself so that you know, and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher that leads and guides into all truth and has been given to us as a paraclete, or one that's called alongside to help, one that dwells within and called alongside us to give us insight into truth, insight. So this is the main thing that the Holy Spirit does, is he teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So that means anyone who's going to stand before you or sit before you and teach you should have been taught of the Spirit. And there's another point to that. All that have sat before the Spirit of God will be in agreement on the things that they teach. We agree because it's coming out of one Spirit. One Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. The scripture says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is one Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives in us to guide us into all truth, to teach us all truth, not just about the scripture, but about all things in life, because we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness according to the word of God. So with that being said, I'm going to continue in on this true and false kingdom. And as I said, coming in, I have been speaking more on the false, because the false is mainly what is controlling the majority and the masses at this time, and probably will continue to. But my teaching is for those that know and they realize that there is a real kingdom. There is a true kingdom that differs widely and broadly from what we see in today's church environment, and what we call Christianity today is not the kingdom that Christ taught about. And so we're going to be going through a different passages of scripture that describe false brethren, false prophets, false teachers that are all birthed out of a false church and a false religious system. Now, some people know that they're of a false system, and some of them don't. Some people are just victims of circumstance. They have been born into stuff and they're just going with the flow, and they've never bothered to question, and they've never went to study outside of what they have been taught by a pastor or someone in their local church assembly. And I will say for all intents and purposes that it should have been the place that you were able to go and receive truth. It should have been the church. The problem with that is you have so many different churches, so many different denominations, so many different divisions, and even within denominations, there are divisions within those denominations, so that the divisionary pie is clearly inspired by Satan and not by the word of God. And so this is what I'm here to talk about. I'll probably be on this for the next couple of weeks, probably in through the rest of spring. I'll probably be on this, because after that, I'm going into the truth. So, I mean, I'll be touching on it back and forth between the true and the false, but we're dealing with the false now because there's so much of it. So I want to begin, like I said, have your notebooks ready, your pens ready. Please have your hearts and minds clear and ready to take notes and go back behind me and study to show yourself approved. If you have any questions, hit me up in my box. You can hit me up here. And if I am able to catch it and answer it, I will answer it here as well. Okay. But I'm coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is where I'm starting at tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Where the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he said, I therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, and the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, in most church environments, they would interpret this to mean that, the endurance of sound doctrine would be those who do not subscribe to their particular pet doctrine of their particular denomination. So many of them are not so bold as to say this, but this is how they feel. Then you have the other set. They're middle of the road. They just don't want no trouble. They're like, we all agree on the birth, death, life, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that makes us one. So they don't want to deal with the fact that there's so much division. Well, we have to deal with that, because this is the reason why the church in and of itself, for the most part, is a powerless entity. The things that Jesus said, or Yeshua said, I'm going to teach you guys about that in the next few weeks too. The things that Yeshua said that we would be doing in this time, which should have carried on from the time he was resurrected all the way to where we are now, we should have been functioning in the kingdom works, which included laying hands on the sick and they recover, casting out devils, speaking in new tongues. But what we have is denominations that focus on tongues. We have denominations that focus on devils, and it's a unjust weight and balance that they put before people without proper interpretation and without proper or rightly dividing of the word of truth. So it's very important that we understand that there is a right dividing, there's a wrong dividing. And that wrong division of the word of truth, the wrong divide of the word of truth produces the false. It produces a false kingdom that's derived from a false church, from false teachers, false prophets, false worshipers. There is what is being birthed out of most churches are more of the same. So because every tree or every seed reproduces after its own kind, what we have is the reproduction of things that are not sound, reproduction of things that are powerless. It's not the reproduction of the things that Christ said how we should be carrying on. Basically, he was the firstborn of many sons, and that means many sons of his kind, which includes daughters. Son being, I explained that before about the gender part of this, okay? So the firstborn of many sons, meaning the many sons of his kind, which means, you know, what was his kind? His kind was a man walking with the Spirit of God in him that gave him power over all the powers of darkness and gave him power to lay hands on the sick and they be recovered, gave him power to cast out devils at a word, gave him power. So that same power, if you understand who you are and who is inside of you, that same power is to emanate from you. But you don't see that a lot these days. You don't see that. You might see every now and then, you might go to a church environment where somebody is really studying to show themselves approved, and they actually stand out from the rest of that church body because the majority of them are not doing it. The majority of people are parroting their pastors. They are just parrots. They're like parakeets. You know, they hear, it's like that spin the thing and pull the string, and it says what you point and say to see and say. That's basically what it is that people are doing. So consequently, the world that's supposed to be won by the wisdom of people, because the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise, is not happening because the world is not winning any part of it. They're looking at it and they're saying something is wrong with that picture, and we don't want to be part of that canvas. We don't want to be on that canvas. So they're shunning it. They're turning away. Some of them are outright disrespectful, and with good reason, because there's nothing there. There's nothing there. So these are things that we must tackle, and we must talk about, and we must dialogue about, and we must get in the scripture about. We must do these things so that people are set free from those things that bind them in the earth today. So in Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul was exhorting Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. He was young, but his grandmother Eunice and his mother had been strong believers in the Lord. And, you know, so here's Timothy. He comes along. There were times he had to encourage Timothy. He had to encourage Timothy to not despise his youth, because I'm sure people were asking him, who do you think you are? You young whippersnapper, like, who are you to tell me something?
Wait a minute. Hit my Cash App at $ what's the point 422. Also, smash the like button, smash the share button, and smash the subscribe button. Also, you can hit me up at whatsthepoint422@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or concerns. We'll be right back.
Here's the thing about your movie, why I made the curator's pick of the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Community, heart,
crazy, easy, easy.
Observations TFR, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday.
I'm sure this is the kind of reaction he was getting from people who didn't realize that he had been taught in the Word of God from his youth. And so he came up and he was in a position where the pastor was conferred upon him answering his calling. So he was a young pastor. And you'll find that a lot today. You'll find a lot of the traditional people in the traditional church, they will be quick to shun those who do not appear as them, those who have not been taught as them, not realizing that they're wrong as two left shoes on most things that they believe. So you had Timothy, who was a young pastor who had gone through that. So Paul, this was about the time Paul was leaving. He knew he was going to be leaving and finishing his course. And he was giving Timothy some last words of encouragement to continue in. And he said that he said to be instant in season and out of season. So that means when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, for him to be instant with the word, for him to be ready. So that means in order to be ready with the word when it's convenient and not convenient, one must be well studied. One must study to show themselves approved and not just have the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word flowing from you in your behaviors, in your actions, in your decisions, and how you interrelate with people and things like that. All of this should be in order for you to be instant when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. So he told him to be instant in season, out of season. He said reprove. That word reprove is to expose. That word reprove is to expose that which is false, to expose that which is out of order, those things which are not beneficial to sound doctrine and not beneficial to growth. He said reprove. He said rebuke. That means correct harshly when you need to. Sometimes rebuke is in order. He said exhort. That's to be an encourager in the things of God, to be encouraging in the scripture, to be encouraging. Tell them to exhort. He told him with all long suffering. Long suffering is the Greek word for long suffering indicates that long suffering, the ability to put up with impossible things from people, the ability to have compassion with a certain degree of ignorance. That's what long suffering is. While people are working it out, to be patient and to be kind. That's what long suffering is. And it says, and with doctrine, and that's with teaching. Then he goes on to say, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's endurance. The Bible tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word endure is both a military and an athletic term, indicating that we are to withstand. We are to carry the weight and not buckle under the weight. We are supposed to be able to carry sound doctrine. It says they will not endure sound doctrine, that which is sound, that which is true and clearly communicates the word of God and the intent of God's word, the reasonable, uncorrupted word of God. That's what's sound. It's healthy. It's sound in condition and it's in balance. That's what sound doctrine is. Sound doctrine is reasonable. It's sound. It's pure. It's uncorrupted. It's healthy. And it's a sound condition, it's balance. Sound doctrine means to be in balance, to be in balance, where you don't have this one sacred cow doctrine that you're holding on to and building a whole belief system around it in which to govern your denomination. And it says that people there will come a time when they would not endure sound doctrine, and that is evident in the many denominations that we have. It's evident that sound doctrine has not been endured because people leave the deer to chase the rabbit. There's one doctrine, then somebody else believes they got a revelation that's greater than the last person, so they go start another group. There's another doctrine that may be similar to the one the group before, but then there's a slight change that makes them feel more knowledgeable. And there is pride in this acquisition of false knowledge, which is no better than it was in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve succumbed to the serpent, telling them that he sold them on the lie that knowledge was tantamount to wisdom, that knowledge and wisdom were equal, and they didn't realize that because the breath of lives had been breathed into Adam, that they already knew everything. They already had all wisdom. They already had all understanding. They had all knowledge. All they had to do was walk in what was already inside them. So here we are today being repeat offenders as human beings that don't know that they're God, man, and not mankind. So we have repeat offenses going on over and over again with the same thing happening, these acquisitions of knowledge that give people a pride pump to think that they know something more than the next person. And so the people are not enduring sound doctrine. They're not enduring that which is healthy. They're not enduring that which is in balance. The Bible says that an unjust weight and balance is an abomination. So it's not just homosexuality that's an abomination. Pride and an unjust balance, unjust weight and balance is an abomination to God as well. You know why? Because it steers people in the wrong direction. And it steers him more away from him and towards religion and towards the created more than the creator. That's the reason why. Because it takes you away from him. So we were told that time would come that people would not endure sound doctrine. It says, but after their own lusts, they would to themselves teachers, having itching ears after their own lusts, the things that they want, after their own lust for money, after their own lust for power, after their own lust for prestige, after their own lust for whatever it is, whatever is on the buffet of things to be had that are lustful. And lust is an inordinate affection for a particular person, place, or thing. So you have an unusual or extreme affection for power, or an extreme affection for money and the things that money can buy. So it says, after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If the church is not permeated with that today, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. It is the most you have the most unbelievable. It's the most unbelievable things going on, the teachings and doctrines. And it sounds good to those who have no sound scriptural understanding. It sounds good. It tickles the ears. Oh, man, who wouldn't want to treat God like a genie and rub the magic lamp and get out of it what you say? So the scriptures about decreeing a thing and it shall be established and all of those things are misdirected or misappropriated. We are supposed to be able to decree things and they be established, but however, you cannot misappropriate that scripture and put it on the wrong thing. Then when it doesn't work, people who have walked in ignorance of the word of God, they get upset and feel that God has forsaken them and have not heard their prayer because they were told scripture in the wrong application. So when it doesn't manifest, the person is upset and they begin to give up on God. They begin to give up on righteousness and all that because somebody told them a doctrine of devils. They was inspired by the devil on this particular interpretation of scripture. They gave it to the people, and when nothing manifested that they said would manifest from using this scripture like an incantation or a magic wand, then the people are falling away. And that is a heavy load. That is something that those of us who teach are held doubly accountable, the scripture says. So you cannot go forth in teaching. We have not, the Bible says that there be not many masters, because if you're going to seek to be a master is a person who not only masters the letter. See, knowing the letter of the word and being able to quote a scripture and name a scripture, it's more to it than that. It's being the scripture, because we are living epistles read of men, says the Bible. It says we are living epistles. So just like Jesus was the word made flesh, we are flesh made word. As we get into this word and we become it, which is what's supposed to be happening. It's not supposed to be that the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, the Father are all outside entities that we're only looking to, because there is something that's been deposited within us. And if we don't allow that to spring forth, then we're always going to be operating from a position of, we're not going to operate from the position that that Christ gave us. He said he gave us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt us. But if we constantly look at something outside of ourselves, not understanding that the very Spirit of God is housed on the inside of us with its subsequent power, with its subsequent understanding, knowledge, wisdom, it's all dwelling inside there. So unless we get a grip, unless we get a grip and come out from among them, which I'm going to get to 2 Corinthians again. I'm going back there again, chapter 6. Unless we get to a place where we have come into union with the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, where we are now representing God, representing Christ on this earth with the same level of laying hands on the sick, the same level of people being healed. And if you don't believe that's possible, after the resurrection, people were still being healed in the shadow of Peter. People were still being healed in the first century church in Antioch. In the first century church in the book of Acts, people were still being healed because you still had those people who had actually walked with Christ. They had received that word. They had received the indwelling spirit. So they were operating according to what Christ had said. But now you have pockets of people. You have some people that are, but for the most part, the church is a powerless organization. It's an organization now. I'm not going to even call it kingdom. Because the true and false kingdom, and I'm talking about the false kingdom, is birthed out of the church that they walked away from. See, both the true kingdom and the false kingdom came out of the false church. One came out of the false church with truth, because truth kept on nagging at them and egging at them. Like, this is what I'm seeing and what I'm studying and what the Holy Spirit is teaching me are two different animals. And you get to a point where you cannot ignore the activities of that which is going on in the false. You can't excuse that away, because the scripture has eliminated all excuses for walking in those ways. So you can't excuse that away. You can't. It comes a time when you can't. Is anybody perfect? Is everybody perfect? The word perfect by biblical standards means mature. So everybody has the capability of being mature if they apply themselves to do so. If you yield yourself, who you yield your members to, you are servants to obey, saith the scriptures. So whatever it is that you're yielding yourself to, you have the capability to either yield yourself to the word of God, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, yield yourself to that, or you yield yourself to the flesh and the works of the flesh. It's up to you. It's on you. It's all on you. So we can't ascribe to the devil the things that we choose to do. Yeah, the devil does tempt. The devil does come and try to deceive. And he does that quite well. But I find the devil working more within the realm of religion and within the realm of Christianity as a religion and its organized church than I do him working in the world. The world is going to do what the world does. The world is without God. They're without understanding. So how they act is no surprise to me. So I'm not sitting around calling them devils. I'm not doing that. I see more devils. I see more. The devil is highlighted to me in environments where he should not be able to operate and should not be present. That's where I see devils at, and where I identify devils. The world is the world. The world is doing what it's doing until those with truth can go out and win them. Because guess what? They're not coming to the false. They'll step in there Some of them might stay a couple of years, then they're out. Once they see all of that fakery and foolery and buffoonery, once they see all that, they're out of there because they're looking for that which is real. So those of us who know that we're of the true kingdom of God, which, you know, as I've already stated, it's only going to be few in ratio. It's going to seem like many, but in ratio of the 350,000 churches that are in America alone and the ones outside, you know, in ratio, it's going to be only the few that get it. So I already understand that. And I know that every time I come on, every time I speak to people, I know it's only a few that's going to get it. Though it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come unto repentance. The reality of the matter is only few are going to get it because Jesus already said that. Or Yeshua already said that. Okay. So that was Timothy. So we already understand that people have itching ears and they go find their own teachers. If you go into most of these churches and you speak a word of you reprove or expose false doctrine, you rebuke harshly the out of orderness of it. If you exhort people to do the right thing and exhort people to study to show themselves approved beyond sitting up under a pastor or a leader that you need to study for yourself. If you go into a lot of these places and you encourage that, they're going to say that you're trying to lead an insurrection against order and you're trying to lead an insurrection against leadership and against God's leadership. And they're going to come with all that mamby-pamby stuff that's not scripturally supported, not rightly divided scripture anyway. Okay. So they're going to come with all of that stuff if you go in with truth, unadulterated. So I'm going back into, can't get away from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I've tried to get away from it for a little while, but I can't get away from it. So I'm going to start at verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what path hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. End of verse 17. Now I'm going back to verse 14. On the previous installments of the series, we talked about the unequal yoke and together with unbelievers and what that actually meant and what it didn't mean. Typically, in most churches, that's described to most people when they're contemplating marriage and they want to be married. And so it's spoken of to be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And I, for all intents and purposes, that's wise because there are some things that are very problematic that come up in a union where people are not believing the same thing spiritually. Okay, so there are some problems. So, but truthfully, this scripture is not necessarily addressing, and it says that when you go to look it up in Strong's, it says it is not always referring to an unconverted individual. So now that puts a different spin on it right there, because it specifically says in its truest sense, as far as how the word is translated, unbelievers, that it is not necessarily referencing an unconverted person. So now who are we talking about when we say be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? And then he goes on talking about what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion had light with darkness and concord with Christ and with Belial, or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Well, what he's talking about in this context specifically regarding unbelievers, now this is the truest interpretation according to the original language and from Strong's Concordance, that unbelievers, what fellowship, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers means to be not unequally yoked with those who have heard the word, yet have gone their own way. And not necessarily that they've left church, not necessarily that they've gone back into the world per se, but they are people who are amongst the mixed wine. They have mixed wine in their doctrine. They're amongst what's called the mixed multitude, where there's a mixture in their teaching. There's a mixture in their doctrine, and the subsequent downfall of their mixture is powerlessness. So it says to be not unequally yoked together with those who hear doctrine soundly, with those who hear the word of the kingdom, but they do not manifest the kingdom. Be not unequally yoked together with them. It says, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? Those who hear the word and are not doers of the word. In James, it says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, lest you deceive yourself. So for those who, what fellowship have righteousness? What is the kingdom? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So what fellowship has the kingdom, the righteousness of the kingdom, have to do with unrighteousness, those who do not operate in righteousness, the non-kingdom folk? Non-kingdom folk don't have boundaries. Non-kingdom folk do not adhere to sound doctrine. Non-kingdom folk make all kinds of excuses why they do what they do, particularly leaders. Now, I have more tolerance for a person that's on milk than I do for those who are supposed to be on meat, for which time they ought to be teachers. They have need that one teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God. I do not have a lot of patience with that. I don't. So I keep myself, I always go to the Lord in prayer about that I don't get the wrong attitude, because anybody is salvageable if they want to be. God has given us free will, and he wants us to will to choose him, will to choose his way, not our own way, or fabricate our own expression of religion, as much of Christianity has done. The Christianity of today no way mirrors the kingdom of God. It in no way mirrors what Jesus taught. And for those who walk in ignorance and have this argument between Paul's teaching and Christ's teaching, which is right and which is wrong, Paul's teaching, for all intents and purposes, was to deal with those of the flesh who could not adhere. So they just didn't get it regarding Jesus's teaching and regarding the kingdom. They didn't come into it having an understanding. They didn't come into it having a yieldedness towards it. They came into it. So Paul's teaching dealt largely with the flesh of man. It dealt with order for those who were out of order and could not get themselves in order. Paul had to give instruction, because these people were far removed from Christ, had long gone. And so ignorance and false doctrine and false teachers and false prophets had crept into the church by then. And so Paul was given instructions for people to line up. Basically, was all his instructions was about, to line up so that we could carry out what Jesus had taught. There was no preference between Paul's teaching and Christ's teaching. If we have an understanding of the scripture, we understand that there is no divide between those two teachings. One corroborates the other. One supports the other, okay? So, I would hope we can move past that because that is a rudimentary part of the word. If we can move on past that, please. So it says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So kingdom with the non-kingdom. What communion hath light with darkness? Those who manifest light, we are the light. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. What fellowship do we have with those that's manifesting darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Those who say they're of Christ with those who are of their father, the devil. See, here's the thing, and this is hard and it's tight, but it's right. If you're not for Christ, if you're not living out the kingdom, what are you doing? If you're not manifesting the kingdom in your life, what are you doing? Exercising futility is the answer. Because if you go to church every Sunday and every midweek service or whatever, and you think that you're doing your due diligence by supplying your presence, and you think that that's the extent of it, you're already wrong. You already have been taught wrong and have the wrong idea. And you need to go back to the drawing board and get before the Lord, who is not hiding from you. He's no respecter of persons. He'll give you what you come in for. If you come in for him, you'll get him. If you're coming for the doctrines of man and devils, that's what you're going to get. So there is no excuse for that. There is no excuse. So if you're not manifesting kingdom and you're not manifesting Christ, it said, what concord, what concordance, what agreement can Christ have with Belial? The children of God are those who do the will of God. So what concord has those who do the will of God have with those who do not do the will of God, yet they speak God? Are you starting to follow me? Okay, so now, or what part had he that believes with an infidel? That word infidel means the same thing in translation as the unbeliever. It's the person who just does not, they've had it, they've had some kind of exposure to the word, but they have not lined up with the word. They're a person who is opposite, they're not carrying it. So, and then it says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The temple of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We house the Holy Spirit, it says, with idols. That word idols is translated carriers of the false god. Of false gods, and we're not just talking about people who practice other religions or other belief systems. We're talking about people who are supposed to have the same God. They're supposed to be on the same path as we are. We're cohabitating at the same churches. We're going to the same places of worship, yet they're coming up crooked. They're coming up crooked. Their line, their way is crooked. It's not straight. It's not the straight way. It's not the narrow way. It's the broad way, where there's a lot of choices and excuses. That's the way that they're coming up. So it says, what agreement could we have with them? And that is so true, because that agreement, and what you're agreeing with is powerlessness. What you're agreeing with, how you gonna have power to cast out devils and power to lay hands on the sick and they recover if you don't have power to keep your tongue? You don't have power to stop gossiping. You don't have power to quit laying in beds you don't have no business in. You don't have power to do those things within yourself or yourself. So how are you gonna have power to do anything else? So this is what this is addressing. What agreement at the temple of God, who know we house God's spirit and without excuse live our lives for that end with people who don't? What agreement can we have? For ye are the temples of the living God, which indicates that those with idols are temples of dead gods. They're temples of what's supposed to be alive, but is dead in them. That's exactly what that's talking about. So, you know, it says that, so wherefore come out from among them. Who is the them? We talked about in previous installments that them was not referring to the world, because the scripture says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. It says, be not conformed to this world, which indicates that we are still in it, and to be not conformed to it, because we are the ones to lead people out of it. So we are out of the mindset of it, or out of the influence of it. So it's saying, be not influenced by the world that you are remaining in.
Wait a minute. Hit my Cash App at $What's the Point 422. Also, smash the like button, smash the share button, and smash the subscribe button. Also, you can hit me up at whatsthepoint422@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or concerns. We'll be right back.
The Film Review. Movies, music, culture, politics, society, podcast, interviews, movie reviews, and more. Live Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Spot Podcast and the Film Review Life Channel. Subscribe.
Hi, this is Bernadette Stanis, Thelma from Good Times, and you're watching The Film Review.
Here's the thing about your movie, why I made the curator's pick of the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Observations TFR, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday.
Be not influenced by that. Be not ruled by that. Be not led by that. But it says, come out from among them. It's talking about all of the aforementioned stuff I just said. It's talking about those people who are living with a dead God inside them. They're going to church. They're saying they're reading the word, but they're not allowing the word to become part of them. They have the letter. And some people, you have teachers and you have preachers. They have been to seminary. They have all kinds of degrees. You have all of this stuff going on, but you cannot manifest the word of God in, through, and by your life. You just have the letter, but you don't have the spirit. Jesus will never recognize that. God will never recognize that. So you have to become this word. It has to become innately a part of who you are. So it is not your flesh man that rises up first. It's your God man that's out front. It's your God man that's ruling. It's your God man. When you walk into a place, God is walking in there with you. When you walk in, you're like, you can almost make the announcement, God's here. God just showed up when you walked in. That's if you understand who you are. You understand who dwells inside of you. You understand that you, because you do the will of God, you are now a son of God because you do his will. You can make that claim and operate in full power and authority that was delegated to us by Christ. You can do exactly that, but because the doctrines of devils implemented by man and parroted and continued, perpetuated by man, tells you so many other things and gives you so many other directions, so many other options, so many other things or excuses or escape clauses from truth, from the requirements, not walking in it. So we are held to a responsibility. We are held to an accountability. God is calling for those of his kingdom. And you know who you are. You know you've been sitting in those churches. Some of you have already come out of those environments. You know you've been sitting there. You know you look around and you like, man, this is a mess. Something is wrong with this. And it can't. God's hand is not on this. I don't sense God's presence here. Now we do, we have so many service procedures. So many service procedures. We come in, we're going to start at this time. We're going to start with prayer. Then we're going to move into praise and worship. which we're going to talk about sometimes in the next few weeks, about how much of this praise and worship music is doing nothing but putting people in a trance to get prepared for false doctrine. We're going to talk about that. So we go through the praise and worship. On certain Sundays, the choir sings, or we got to do, you know, an A and B or maybe an A selection with them. Then the preach word comes up. Now, because you're sitting there in emotion and not in the spirit of God, you're sitting there in emotion. You had your emotions pricked, but your heart hasn't been pricked. So it's not really ready to see the heart wants truth. The emotions wants things that's going to keep the emotions flourishing, right? But the emotions are fleeting and they're not accurate a lot of the time. So that which our heart and our mind needs, our spirit needs, it needs truth. And it will hold on to truth as long as it wants to live by truth. People who don't want to live by truth, people who don't want to straighten their hand, people who don't want to live out the scriptures, they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll find some kind of loophole and some way around not doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's what they do. So this is why the scripture says, come out from among them. Come out from among them. And unfortunately, coming out from among them means coming out from among most, the majority, the large part, the many segment of the church, as many as an M-A-N-Y, many. That coming out from among them means you have to come out of there. Now, I'm not saying that every church is bad. I'm not saying that. There are people whose leaders are recognizing the truth. They're beginning to teach their people the truth. But then, by and large, though, you're going to have a lot of people, particularly these staunch, long-standing denominations that will not change. They are obstinate. They are modern-day Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. They will not change. They will be the ones who set themselves against you just like they did in Jesus' day. They will be the ones who try to come up and challenge on your teaching and try to give you things to be tripped up on. And it's really ridiculous, but they're there, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So I'm letting you know that ahead of time. So it said, come out from among them and separate yourselves from them. Now, this is going to be hard for people who have spent their whole life in the church environment. You just used to it. You used to going and hearing A and B. It's like, do I have to come all the way out? Do I have to just not fellowship with these people? I mean, it's going to be lonely because the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourself with the body of believers as the manner of some is. Well, you don't have to forsake yourself with the body of believers. You have to be with believers. That's the point. You are forsaking yourself with the assembly of those who don't believe, which is evidenced in their behavior. It's evidenced in their lack of application of the word. It's evidenced in their powerlessness that they're not believers. So you are now transitioning into being yoked together with believers and not forsaking yourself with the assembly of believers, because you are going to assemble with believers. Get it? So it's going to be hard because we are creatures of habit mostly. And a lot of times, you know, we get conditioned. The flesh is conditioned to do what it does. It's conditioned to be here every Sunday at the same time. It's conditioned to do that. So when someone like myself or others who are speaking like I'm speaking comes along and starts saying what we're saying, you're looking at us like we're the them, like we're bringing you false doctrine. No, sweetheart, you need to go study to show yourself approved and understand what this is and what God is saying. There's a preparation. God is preparing his people because there's a harvest of souls that must be won that the church is incapable of doing for several reasons. First of all, there is no power being demonstrated. If the power that we're supposed to be walking in was being demonstrated, we go on the street as somebody who's been walking up and down the street out their mind for 15, 20 years, we go and cast that devil out of them. And they are now clothed in their right mind. When we can manifest the works of the Lord, it will cause the unbeliever to believe. That's what the purpose of those things are. The purpose of miracles are for the unbeliever, so that they can believe. We who believe already know this stuff. We're supposed to. So it shouldn't even be a question on whether it should be a particular way, because we're believers. We already know that this is what it is. We're believers in what is true. So we go out and we purport what is true. We manifest what is true. But if we're not doing that, you got a world that's looking at the church and Christianity is just another choice of religion that's going to fit my personal like or my personal distaste. If I don't like the way they're doing it, I'll just go over here and become this. Or I'll just go over there and do that. I don't like what they're saying. I don't like what they're doing. But if we laid hands on cancer patients and they recovered, see, the C word is not a big word for me. It ain't bigger than God, okay? And that's proven in my own life, personally. So the C word is not bigger than God. People standing up in different spirits is not bigger than God. The witch is not bigger than God. Now, there is an element that God does not transcend our will. If they want to operate in witchcraft and stay there, if they want to be bound with demons and they're in agreement with their demons, then even God does not transcend that, what the person's will is for, what they want to be and what they want to do. But for those who want to be free, we need the people of God, the people of the kingdom, to come forth with power and demonstration and with the word of God and with the power to back it up, to manifest. The Bible says that the whole earth, all of creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible says as many as do the will of God, them he gave power to become sons. So when it says come out from among them, it's coming out from those who have no clue. They have no clue about that. They're on something else. They're content with going to services and feeling pious and religious and feeling important when they're really impotent. They're impotent, but they feel important. They're impotent. So I'm going to go into some other scriptures now, and I want you to write these down. We're going to talk about some of the characteristics of the false. And in the Old Testament, different prophets were addressing the false. Then we come into the New Testament, and there's some things that's going on right now in some two pieces of scripture I want to give you in particular, that you can look at it. If you're in a church, you can examine it and see if this is what it is and what you see, okay? I want to start with Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 9. The prophet Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came from the prophet Ezekiel saying, my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know I am the sovereign Lord. So in other words, there's going to be a point of demarcation. Back then, there was a point of demarcation that showed the true from the false. It said that they would not belong to the councils of the people. They utter false visions and lying divinations. And it's the same thing that's going on in most churches today. And because the people don't study to show themselves approved, these prophets, they come along and they say all of this foolishness. And some of it is not only lying divinations and false visions, it's directly contrary to scripture. Yet the people will jump and shout and fall out and stand in line and give offerings, waiting on a word and a touch from this prophet who is so outside of God's will and so far removed from him that it's not even funny. And yet people are there to see him. I mean, I have not seen. Now, I walk in that office, okay? And I still understand, I walk in the office of a prophet and teacher, right? So there has to be balance between revelation and doctrine. And one supports the other. Anytime you have revelation that's not verifiable by doctrine, you're in trouble. Anytime you have doctrine and you never have any revelation regarding taking you deeper into the doctrine and the truth, you're in trouble. So there has to be a balance between revelation and doctrine. And so my thing has always been, when people have, there were people who identified who I was out of season. It was not yet my season to come forth, but they knew who I was already. So some of them had a tendency to try. I knew that some in their heart were just trying to be an encouragement. But in that, you know, being drawn out of season in the prophetic can set things off course and out of order. If you're speaking things too soon, or you're speaking things, you're uttering things that it's not yet time for, you set the course of things out of order. You can set people's lives out of order. So I refused to step forward until I was released by God, by the Spirit of God, to go forth. But you will have people that may have identified something in me and would try to draw that out of season. And so that's a very serious thing to do. And you have to know that, you know, my first thing to them would be when they tried to do that, well, did you study the scripture concerning this particular topic? See, you're not, I made up my mind early on because I was looking at these prophets. I came along when I gave my life to the Lord. I came along right at the height of when the prophetic was really flourishing. Now, you know, we didn't move into the apostolic and the prophetic, but it's more apostolic. But then everybody wanted to be a prophet. Everybody wanted to be a prophet. Any prophet that came to the town that I was in, it was like a concert. It was a groupie effect. The prophet groupie showed up. So I looked at that, and really I didn't want any part of it. So I was also shunning the gift and shunning the office as well, because I knew it was an office. It wasn't just a gift to prophesy. It was an office, and I knew, and I was shunning it because I didn't like what I saw in my predecessors. I didn't like what I seen going before me. It turned my stomach. So I really didn't want any part of it. And the Lord was impressing upon me, just pay attention. Just watch the behavior. Just watch that which is out of order. Watch of that those which are not of me, or they are being led by another spirit. Watch them in their behavior. So I did. I did. I watched them. And a prophet that is true is always going to lead you to the scripture. They're never going to allow you to idolize them. They're never going to allow you to make a superstar out of them. They're never going to allow you to put them in a place higher than they ought to be. They remain grounded. They remain humble. They remain teachable by the Holy Spirit. They remain, true prophets remain in order. They remain in balance. They do not take the glory unto themselves. They do not, like I said, become superstars and get on these circuits and rape the people. They don't do that. Not a true prophet. Prophets don't prophesy good when God is saying, I am displeased with you. See, real prophets are a rare thing because real prophets are not popular. Real prophets are not popular at all, actually. Most of the time, you know, real prophets are accused of being negative, always bringing some kind of negative word, always being contrary to. I mean, how come y'all just can't go with the flow? How come you just can't prophesy good to me? How come you just can't tell me something good? This ain't Shaka Khan. You know, I'm not going to tell you something good and it's bad. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it because I have to be accountable. So when we're looking at the true kingdom and the false kingdom, many of your false prophets today are calling right wrong and wrong right. They're not taking you to the scripture and holding you accountable. Why? Because they themselves are not accountable. These prophets that walk around getting into all of this stuff and all of this immaturity online, going back and forth with people online and stuff like that. This lets me know that even if, like, sometimes people are not necessarily false prophets, but they may have stepped out of season because they didn't endure sound doctrine. They didn't endure hardness as a good soldier. They went off the word that was given them from a witch. You know, there's a lot of witches walking around and a lot of witches sitting up in churches. They're there plain as day, and some of them are in leadership. So you have these people, they're stepping forward in the prophetic because they went out of the out-of-season word, on the out-of-season word of a witch that appeared to be pious and holy and one that everyone respected and sat in a high place in the church. So their word would seem to be viable, but they're always steering people out of the way of God. They're always steering people into the fire. They're always steering people in the wrong direction and causing them to go out of season because they are of Jezebel. Now that's what Jezebel is. It's not a woman who likes to wear makeup. You know, a woman could be a Jezebel with no makeup on and her skirt down to the floor. Jezebel is a spirit. And it's a spirit that leads men or women. It's a spirit that is contrary to the working of the Holy Spirit. It's contrary to the working of God. And you will know it when you experience it, because those who are true they get bit out of shape about it. I used to get bit out of shape dealing with witches in church, and they were in leadership. I get bent out of shape. It would rub me all the way the wrong way. But I had a good time with them, though. It was that covert operation I was called to. It was that thing where, that unspoken thing that we used to have, or that thing where, you know, it was this challenge or this rubbing against one another, where I'm coming with truth and I'm looking you in your face and I'm telling you, you're a liar. I'm telling you, you are of another spirit. I'm telling you, you are of a witch. And I'm standing in the full power and authority of God because I'm walking in truth. You understand what I'm saying? The truth of God's word and is manifesting from my life. So this is very, very important. These are important things. These are important points. So that was in Ezekiel. That was Old Testament. Now, Jeremiah, the prophet, the Lord spoke through him and said, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They fill you with false hopes. Let me talk about that a little bit. In the early 90s, when, like I said, when I got saved, when I came to the Lord, it was, the prophetic was very much in style, very popular. And to be a prophet was the thing. It was popular. When y'all don't realize that being a prophet means that most of the time you have undergone excruciating training from childhood and never let up. It masked you into being that. You almost were drafted into it. You know, you were called from your mother's womb. You were drafted into it and put on a training plan. From the time you were a youth, a small child, up until when it's time for you to manifest and time for you to be released into that calling. Don't nobody, listen, aside from the fact that it's an honor to serve God in any particular way, whether it's cleaning a toilet on a ministry of helps at your church, or whether it's going to feed the homeless under the bridges, or whether it's an honor to serve God and let God flow through you in any capacity. But if you understood what this prophetic thing really was and to walk in the office, ain't nobody quick. If you got good sense, you're not quick to run towards that. And you wonder for a long time why God chose you to do it. Because then there's a requirement put on you, and you have an obligation to walk the straight way. You can't speak with a forked tongue. You can't have two mouths. You have to have a singleness of eye, and you have to stay focused. You can't afford to be going down two paths. It's got to be one way or not. There is no other way. It's either one way, the way of God in his truth, and you're speaking it and you're being it and you're living it, or not. But there is no middle ground there. So unless you're ready to assume the responsibility of the office, unless you're willing to walk in that way, leave it alone. If you're not going to be disciplined, leave it alone. If you're not going to shut your lust down and be sleeping with the men and women of the church, leave it alone. If you're not going to quit lying, leave it alone. You can't speak with two tongues. If you're not going to quit lusting after power and money and fame, leave it alone. You're going to be out of order. So it is these kinds of prophets that create false hopes in people. So this is what they do. Back to the early 90s or mid 90s. So you'll go to an assembly, you go to a meeting, and you have, this is the popular prophet of the day. This is the one that's on all they're being invited to all the great events. Y'all who have been in the circles, y'all know what the great events are. They've been on all the great, so-called great platforms to preach and teach and minister.
Hi, I'm Tanya M. Congress, and I'm one of the programmers here at The Spot. You know, The Spot, at hashtag YouFoundTheSpotRadio. Join me on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. block. I look forward to seeing you if you dare. You've been listening to What's the Point with me, Tanya M. Congress, one of the programmers here at The Spot. Hashtag YouFoundTheSpot. You know, The Spot, the place where there is movies, music, culture, politics, and the Holy Bible Society. Hit my Cash App up at $ What's the Point 422. Smash the like button, smash the share button, smash the subscribe button. You can also reach me at whatsthepoint422@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or concerns. Of course, tune back in with us every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll see you next week.
The Film Review. Movies, music, culture, politics, society, podcast, interviews, movie reviews, and more. Live
Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Spot Podcast and the Film Review Life Channel. Subscribe.
Hi, this is Bernadette Stanis, Thelma from Good Times, and you're watching The Film Review.